So what is this session about today? So we are talking about the whys behind the hows of enterprise voice. Like I'm not here to actually show you, okay, here's a dial plan, and here's how you do this, and here's how you do that. Everybody knows how to do that sort of stuff. The question is, why are we doing this? Because when I first learned Link, we learned all these concepts, and I got the whole idea between dial plans and voice policies and all that sort of stuff and how they interacted to each other. But then I didn't really know, okay, well, why should we do it this way? Like I started off and I went through their demos in the labs and set things up and said, okay, well, why are we doing things this way? There's so many different ways you could be doing it. Why is this the way to do it? So then after much trial and error and playing around and doing all kinds of work, we've tried to came up with what I think is probably the best way to best structure your enterprise voice deployment. So everybody can hear me okay, right? Okay, good. So we're going to be talking about how to do it and then or how to best structure your enterprise voice deployment, some special cases to do with enterprise voice, a demo of the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer, which tries to put all this sort of stuff into practice, but I don't have a demo laptop, so that may or may not happen. It depends if the IT gods sign on me later today. So what we're hoping is that you do have a basic understanding of Link Enterprise Voice, because I'm not going to be going and spending a lot of time on the core concepts, but we're going to be diving right into a lot of stuff. So who am I? Again, I'm not that guy. So okay, is this another part of the drinking game? Whenever picture David Hasselhoff shows up, there you go. Okay. All right. So my name is actually Ken Lasko. I am from the great city, well, near the great city of Toronto, Canada, also home of the very infamous mayor, Rob Ford. Everybody knows who that guy is, right? He's absolutely awesome. He just provides endless entertainment. You can reach me on Twitter at Ken Lasko. I don't tweet a heck of a lot. I leave that to guys like John and tweet much more prolifically than I am. I do. I run the Link Optimizer. I'm the guy that created it, run it. I do it all in my own spare time. This has absolutely nothing to do with the company I work for, which happens to be Buchanan Technologies, an IT company that's based out of Dallas, where I work out of Toronto. Been there since 2000, so 14 long years working at the same company, which is kind of crazy. So I started off, my background was actually originally in MS Mail, believe it or not. My very first job as a consultant was managing an MS Mail deployment for the government of Ontario, and it was huge. It was crazy. Then got into Exchange, and everything snowballed from there and ended up into Link. And I've also been an MVP for 3 years running now. All right, so we're diving right into it. So first thing I want to get through is some key concepts. E164 is something you're going to see a lot in Link, and you're going to see a lot in this presentation. This is the internationally recognized telephone number format for across the entire world. So what you may not know if you're from North America, you always know that you need a dial a 1 for long distance and not dial a 1 for if it's local or something like that. But 1 is actually our country code for North America, if you're from here. Other different countries, obviously, like London or England have 40. They're all different country codes all over the world. North America, is it 44? Oh my God, it is 44. What the heck am I doing? Should use the optimizer on that. That's crazy. Anyways, you get the idea, right? So it's broken down into the country code and then an area code or city code, depending on where you are, and then also a local number. So depending on where you are, you may be able to dial a local number by itself, or you might have to put the area code in front of it. But generally, in most countries, you don't have to dial the area or the country code in front, except for North America. And then the other thing I want to talk about is RFC 3966. This is actually the RFC that defines the tell URI you're going to use in Link. You're not going to see this too much. Everybody generally just uses the term E164 interchangeably to talk about a formatted number that's formatted in E164, whether that's in your tell URI or an Active Directory or something like that. So we're not going to really talk about that too much, but just know E164 is the thing we're going to be talking about mostly. And regular expressions. So regular expressions is something else we're going to be using a lot in this presentation. So regular it's kind of a language for pattern matching, and it's extremely cryptic. Like people spend their lives talking about regex and creating all these ridiculously cryptic things, cryptic expressions to do simple things, which is kind of cool. But it's extremely powerful, but it is also extremely difficult to understand if you don't know what you're looking at. So in Link, we use these ones. I'm not going to go through these all, but these are the ones you're going to see most often. In a Link dial plan. One really good site that I found actually fairly recently, if you go to Henny Taha's blog, he's got an excellent breakdown of regular expressions. So before you get started, so when you're deciding to go into a Link deployment, the first thing you might be thinking about is, okay, what should I do first? Well, before you install Link, you should be thinking about how your Active Directory phone numbers are formatted, because the Link client will actually display all the phone numbers that are in Active Directory for people, right? Sorry, did somebody say something? Oh. So it will only display those numbers if you can if Link can recognize a number. So if you just have 4 digits for an extension inside a Link, Link will not recognize that unless you tell it how to recognize that. So it works with both user and contact objects in AD, so you can actually publish all kinds of phone numbers that may not be actually be Link objects and be able to show that to clients inside a Link. So it doesn't have to be Link enabled. So in Link, formatting phone numbers is key. Consistency is key. It's the most important thing we need to do. You want to try to make sure that all your phone numbers are E1-64 formatted. Format numbers as they exist. Don't try to format them like they're dialed. So if you live in a place like England, right, with number 44, don't put a zero. Don't format your numbers with a zero as they use for local dialing. Try to make the numbers display correctly for the country that you're in. So feel free to include dots, dashes, commas, brackets, anything you need to do that will help people visually display the phone number. Link actually does an excellent job of breaking that down and taking that all out, so you don't need to worry about it too much. So some good examples there. So for North America, doing just 1-604-555 and one like that with brackets and all that sort of stuff is good. Bad is actually not putting the one in front of there and just doing it with the 604, so not including the country code is bad because that means it's not E1-64. Doing just the extension is also bad because, again, that is not E1-64. And then also, the example I used before, for 44020, so in England, people like to actually format, they put the 0 in front of their local number or in front of their, so they can dial it, but that is actually not an E1-64 phone number. So we want to make sure we avoid that. So it's not necessary to change all your phone numbers, because you might be looking at this thinking, oh my God, I got an absolute mess in Link. Okay, so how am I going to fix this? But you don't have to actually fix every single phone number and use scripts and all that sort of stuff. You can use something that's called the company phone number normalization rules.txt. That is a very handy thing that's not very well published. Like, you don't see it unless you start going digging. Like, you don't see it very much in the Link documentation, but it's actually an excellent thing to use to be able to normalize numbers you have in Link. So if you do have phone numbers that aren't in E1-64 format and you don't want to change them due to corporate policy or anything like that, that's fine. Keep them like that. Then you can use the company phone number normalizations rules.txt to normalize them to E1-64 inside a link before it gets published to the address book. So Link, the address book parses this, puts them in an E1-64 format. It will display those numbers as they are in the Active Directory, but then when you click on them, it formats them as E1-64 in the background and dials it, and everything's okay. And again, so you're going to want to use regex patterns to ensure all your AD phone numbers are readable. And so you can check this by using that command there, AB server test phone number, and then the actual sample number you want to try. So it's an excellent way to test your numbers to make sure everything's fine. So there's a couple of examples right there that actually ends up capturing a good amount of situations that I see all the time in Link deployments. Usually my first thing I do is I just use those two right there for a North American deployment, and that usually catches just about everything. So again, why should I care about E1-64? He says, okay, you know what, fine. All right, you're telling me, you're drilling in E1-64, why should I care? Again, because this is about the whys, not the hows, right? Well, what happens if you have multiple locations in your company across the world, right? So dialing numbers from different countries is going to be a problem, right? Because AD is global, so numbers are going to be visible to everybody. So if your numbers are formatted for your own local country, and so you're in North America, you're normally used to dialing just 604-555-1212, that's not going to work for somebody dialing from England or from anywhere in Asia. You need to dial 0, put 2 zeros in front of it, and then the country code and all that sort of stuff. So you got to make sure that local formatting from one country is not going to work in another one. And also, another important thing is, you might think that, okay, wait, I'm in one country, I only have one office, why do I care? Well, again, the other big thing that a lot of people don't realize is that when you federate with other companies with Link and you decide to share your phone numbers with other people in Link, those the phone numbers that you formatted and normalized will be presented to those people. So if you don't normalize those phone numbers to E1-64 and you leave off the 1 or you put in the 0 in there and all that sort of stuff, then those people, when they dial that phone number, it's not going to work, because, again, they don't know what your local dialing rules are. They shouldn't be expected to. Most companies are going to be, or every company who's going to be using Link should be expecting to use E164 phone numbers all across the board. So it's not just your company you need to worry about, it's also everybody else's company that you're federating with. So here we go. Here's an example. David Hasselhoff on his trusty phone and his wonderful, I love that headband. He's on his awesome, very, very new phone. Decides he wants to dial that phone number that was presented to him from another company with a zero in front of it because, hey, that's the way they like to do things in England. But again, the zero is a locally, it's used only in England. And if you've ever tried to dial an English number like this and you're from North America, you're not familiar with the UK dialing rules, you'd be going, why is this not working? Why am I supposed to know? Oh yeah, drop the zero if you're not in the UK. Well, I don't know that. I don't have to know that. So what happens? He dials that number, he gets frustrated, and he screams at his phone. All right, so once we've gotten through those core things, you've taken your link, your Active Directory, you've fixed everything all up, everything's all hunky-dory. So yep, we're starting into Link. So you install Link, and we're gonna go through, spend one slide on just the core concepts, just in case you're a little bit rusty, right, John? Not sure about some of this stuff? Okay. So the dial plan. The dial plan is the place where you take all your phone numbers and it normalizes them. So numbers that people type into Link, and it normalizes them into E164. So the whole idea is you're supposed to take every single number, every single format that people like to dial their phone numbers, and take it and make sure it ends up as an E164 phone number. The voice policy. This determines the kind of calls people are able to make, the call features, and it also determines the call routing that people are going to be taking. The voice route, well, that's self-explanatory. No need to go through that. And PSTN reusage is actually the link between voice policies and routes. And then finally, trunk translation rules. This is the last hop before it goes out to the PSTN or to a PBX, and this is where final phone number manipulation happens. So the idea is really that you should be doing everything to E164, and then at the very last step, before you send it off to the PBX or send it off to the PSTN, if they need a 00 in front of it for an international call, or a plus, or a 1, or a 011, you do that at the last step. And this is something that actually people won't even see. So decisions. Okay, so Link gives you a big, wide open playing field, which is both great and also scary, because you're sitting there going, what is this? Like, you install Link and they leave you with just a few PSTN usages that don't have anything in them and nothing else. And you're like going, okay, what do I do? What am I supposed to do with all this? And so I see this all the time on the TechNet forums and stuff like that. You see people are just kind of struggling with how to do this. They end up reading through all kinds of different blogs, which is fantastic, but it takes a lot of time to really get through this. So you want to take a lot of time to think about how you want to do things. Don't just do what I like to do. I always like to just dive right in and start just working at it. But unfortunately, in Link, that doesn't really work so well, especially when you're dealing with enterprise voice, because there's a lot of things you really should think about before you get started. So plan thoroughly. Really, really understand how the interplay between voice policies, routes, PSTN usages, and all that sort of stuff. Because if you do, if you don't know that trunk translation rules are good for adding a 9 before you send it all out, you might decide, okay, well, I'm going to normalize all my numbers to include the 9 to start off with. Well, that's the wrong way to go about things. So it's, and also think about how you want to do your naming convention. Because it's a lot harder to change things once you've deployed it. Especially in Link, because there's some places where you can say, okay, yes, I can change the name here, but a lot of other things, the name is locked once you create it, and it's very difficult to change them after the fact. So consider a standard naming convention. So voice policies, normalization rules for PSTN usages, trunk translation rules, everything. Use a common convention. Yeah, we have a question there. Is there a roadmap for how to name them? There is no roadmap. Again, this is all part of that big, wide-open playing field. We'll be talking about the different formats. Again, what I find works for me, but it may not work for you. Okay? So again, so create a standard naming convention for everything. It just makes everything a lot easier, makes coding a lot easier. If you're ever doing any PowerShell scripts made by this wonderful man over here, he does all kinds of those things. Or to make searching, it's a lot easier if you have everything name the same way. Like if you need to make changes to all your local dialing rules, you can just do a search for local or something like that. So so consider breaking things down by your country, your state, and the province that you're in, and then even the city, and then down to the call class. So there's some examples there. So UK for the country, London for the city, and then local could be local for a local route, could be for a local voice policy, could be anything really. So you don't really like I don't think you really need to get any more specific in here, like saying UK London local voice policy, because, well, if you're in the voice policy and you see UK London local, you know you're looking at a voice policy. Why do you need to add any more descriptive things to that, right? So again, avoid spaces and overly long names, because in PowerShell, you're going to be typing this stuff in. And if you're using spaces, then you're going to have to use in quotes all the time. If you forget to use the quotes, then things break down. Scripting becomes a lot harder. So it's just, again, just use dashes or something like that. So there's two, my frame of mind, there's two ways of going about this. You can take the simple approach, or you can take the complex approach. You might be thinking, well, all right, well, fine, I'm going to take the simple approach. Why would I want to do the complex approach? Why would anybody want to take the complex approach? Well, we're IT guys. We like to do things the hard way, right? Am I right? But I'm all about keep it simple, right? But, you know, if you want to do certain things, like if you want to do crazy things like preventing some people from making certain types of calls, if you want to control the kind of calls that people can use for call forwarding, or if you want to use least cost routing, then you might be wanting to think about a more complex type deployment. So let's look at an example. So what you can do in a complex deployment example is what you would create a set of voice policies, voice routes, PSTN usages for each site and call class. And so a call class would be local, could be in long distance, or national, or international. So here's an example. Oh, I don't have the sound effects? That's a shame. So here's an example for in a complex deployment. You would have, for London, you would have call classes for local, national, mobile, international, because again, you may want to control how people are able to call. Maybe you don't want people to make mobile calls, because calling mobile numbers is usually more expensive than calling local numbers, right? Or even other numbers, right, in the UK, yeah. And same with Toronto. So we break things down to local, national, international, and service. So you can make things a lot easier down the road to be able to do all kinds of really, really fine-grained things. Now, in a simple deployment example, you're just going to create one voice policy slash voice route slash PSTN usage for each site. So you're left using the same examples before. We're left with two. Super simple, right? Which is great if that's all you want to do. And this is why you want to think ahead of time. What do I want to do? What am I want to let my users do with their phone calls? So the simple deployment pros and cons. So the pros is that, well, there's less of everything, right? Instead of like what you saw on the first page for two sites with maybe 10 or 12 different PSTN usages or routes, you're left with two, right? It's a lot simpler. So every call can be just sent to just a simple, like all-encompassing route, like star.star, like you would use in Command Shell. But it is a lot easier to troubleshoot, especially when you're dealing with large deployments. But the cons are you can't use some of the advanced features like least cost routing. And you can't limit call forwarding or limit calling or call forwarding. So you can't say that everybody in the company gets national dialing only, but then only the CEOs are able to do international calling. And yes, question. Correct. Yeah, this is all about, the question was that least cost routing only matters if you have multiple sites with PSTN connectivity with the link, and that's absolutely true. So we're dealing with enterprise deployments. If you only have one site, then of course you have no least cost routing to do because there's nowhere else to route it to. So we're hoping that everybody here has got multiple sites with multiple PSTN egress points. So the complex deployment pros and cons as well, it's very, very granular, which is fantastic. Like I'm doing one right now for a company, and they got about 30 different sites, and each of those sites have five or six dialing rules or call classes, and the list gets extremely large, but it also becomes very simple to make changes. Like we're making very, very fine-grained routing decisions based on the complex deployment that we've chosen. So we're able to say, okay, well, local calls and national calls are going to go out here, but long distance, you know, international calls are going to be able to go out here. So we're able to get very, very fine-grained detail over that. So the cons is, well, it's complicated, right? So it's going to be a lot more routes and usages than the other one, and it can be difficult to troubleshoot sometimes if you're not careful, again, with your naming convention and everything. So let's talk about dial plan best practices. So always, always, always. So I'm going to be harping this all the time because I can't tell you how many times I've seen on the forums or I go to companies where they don't normalize the E164. They leave off the country code, or they just use extensions and things like that. And it just drives me nuts because they're having problems. And I keep saying, well, if you just normalize E164 in the start, you wouldn't be having these problems. But then they're already gone down that path so far, they're kind of like just stuck on it, and they can't move off of it. So again, always normalize E164, no matter how innocuous you think it says, okay, well, it's just extensions. I don't need to do extensions. It's staying internal. Why do I need to worry about normalizing extensions? But we'll talk about that later too. So do that for everything. So you have to consider every single way that a person makes a phone call, every single way that people like to dial. So some areas in the US, they can dial 7 digits. Other places, they have to dial 10. Internally, they might be able to dial 3-digit extensions, 4-digit extensions. You need to consider every single way that people like to dial phones. Do they need to dial a 9 for an outside line currently? Because the way we like to do our deployments, especially if you're migrating from an old PBX, is to try to duplicate everything that they're already familiar with. If they're used to dialing 9 for long distance, fine. Let's let them do that. All right? So what I always like to do in terms of dial plans is always strive for just a single global dial plan if you can. If you're just a national company, like just in North America, you can get away with this. You could potentially have just one dial plan for the entire company. Of course, if you're a multinational, you have places, you know, like you're going to want to have local dialing for people in the UK as opposed to different dialing for the UK as you would for North America, right? So because in the UK, they would dial 0 for dialing a national number and 00 for an international number. North America, 011, obviously. So you can use site-level dial plans. This is fantastic for when you've got link deployments in multiple sites. And again, it's great to do it this way because you don't have to do anything. When you assign people to a site, when you create their link account, they're automatically assigned to that site-level policy. You don't have to do anything further, which is fantastic. So I always try to stay away from user-level dial plans if possible because, again, it's one less thing you got to do when you're enabling someone for enterprise voice. But if you do need to go to user-level dial plans, if you have users in different countries with no local link deployment, or you also have people within the same country that just have different dialing requirements in each site. Like maybe you have a site that says, okay, well, I can dial 3-digit extensions starting with 2. And they expect to go to somebody within that site. Whereas in another site, could be across the world, might also be able to dial 3 digits starting with 2, but they need to normalize to something else. So use user-level dial plans only when you absolutely need to, because it is a little more difficult to manage because you have to use PowerShell to assign it to them usually or manually via the control panel. So dial plan best practices. Resist the temptation to not normalize PBX-bound extensions. I see this all the time where people say, okay, well, all right, people like to dial 4 digits to dial to a PBX. It's going to the PBX. Why do I need to normalize that to UN64 when I'm going to be sending it to the PBX as just 4 digits again? Why am I stripping this out? So again, normalize it to UN64. We'll talk about a little bit later why. And strip it back down to the extension on the way out. You're going to think that it's a lot of work, but I'll show you why it's important later. And order your normalization rules from the most specific to the least, because you want to make sure that everything gets normalized that it should be, because link will start from the very top of the normalization rule list, and as soon as it finds a match, it will normalize to that and not go any further. So you want to make sure that you go from the most specific to the least. So it'll start at the local level, national, international, go down like that. And also make sure, considering your naming convention, that most of your normalization rules are going to be the same nationwide, so you don't really necessarily need to say UK London National, UK London International. You could use those same normalization rules across your deployment for UK deployments. So why do you need to say UK London National International, things like that? And again, don't worry about, and I see this all the time too, don't worry about access codes like 9 in your normalization rules. Forget about it. Don't even think about putting 9 in there, because we'll talk about, so if you do that, if you normalize to include the 9, that means you're not normalizing E164 anymore. So what you should be using is the external access prefix instead. And so here we go. The external access prefix. You've probably all seen this stuff, and you might have clicked the checkboxes and not really exactly understood what's going on there. So the external access prefix is actually used to provide desk phone users with a PBX-like experience when they're dialing off-hook. If you're always dialing using the link client, like I am, it's a little hard to think sometimes that some people like to, the way that people are typically prime the dial is you pick up the phone, you listen for a dial tone, and you start dialing your phone number, right? But with link, you know, we usually just dial the phone number, you punch it in the link, and you just press dial, and away you go. You're primed not to think like that a lot. So what happens is when you click something, when you use the term, when you So when you have a normalization rule that's for an internal extension, if you check the internal extension checkbox, that means it's going to ignore any normalization rule. When you dial a prefix, the external dialing prefix, any normalization rule that's marked internal extension will be ignored. And so this has very important consequences right now. So let's pretend that we've got a situation, a deployment, where a user wants to dial a Vancouver phone number, 604-555-1234. We got a normalization rule that says, okay, because that's the way we like to dial things in Canada, is just dial 10 digits, not dial the one for a local call. All right, and then we also have a normalization rule for four-digit extensions that happen to start with a 6 as well. And it normalizes to DIDs. Everybody knows what a DID is? Dialed number. And it normalizes to 1604-226-2226, and then 3 digits after that. So here we go. Here's our wonderful, awesome David Hasselhoff. There you go. You have a drink again. He dials 6045. He picks up the phone. He dials 6045. What happens is that first normalization rule kicks in, and it says, oh, you're dialing 6045, and then, oh, that's a four-digit extension, internal extension. I'm going to normalize it to this, and I'm going to dial that number. That's not what I wanted. The guy gets very upset. Doesn't work so well. So now, if you use the external access prefix, so you put in your dial plan, you put 9 as the external access prefix, you mark all your normalization rules that are for internal extensions as just internal extension. So what happens now when Mr. Hasselhoff dials a phone? He dials 9604-555-1234, and Link sees that. Link will automatically strip that 9 for you. You don't need a normalization rule that's going to take care of that. You ignore that entirely, and it will deal with that and dial your phone number. Great success. Everybody's happy. Well, Dick, that's what I mean. Click the call is not a problem. So the question was, why do we need to worry about this with click the call? This is not a problem for people dialing with the Link soft client. This is only a problem for people who are used to picking up a phone and dialing off hook. Because again, what happens with Link is when you start dialing, Link is already looking to see if there's a match for a normalization rule somewhere. So when I dial 6045, Link sees, oh, whoa, there's a normalization rule for that. Great, I'm going to do that. And so even though he really wanted to continue dialing on, Link normalized it for him and sent it on its way. So again, putting the 9 in the external access prefix just basically says, don't ignore these numbers, ignore these normalization rules when you're dialing off hook. This is only an off hook dialing experience. So this is something to replicate, something in a PBX. Okay. So some dialing rule examples. So again, these get cryptic. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but these are the sort of things in North America to deal with every single dialing situation you could possibly need in North America. Right? Am I missing anything here? 310 numbers in Canada. Yeah, I didn't bother with those ones. But so just to run through that one really quick. So with the one with the question mark means, is the previous is optional. You don't actually need to put that in there. And then the 2 to 9 means obviously any digit starting with 2 to 9, and then any 2 digits followed by another 2 to 9, and then 6 more digits. And then we also take anybody who happens to be typing in or an extension or plugging it in from Outlook or something like that, we make sure we strip all that sort of stuff out. And then we translate that to +1 and then the whole phone number. Service numbers we just leave as, we don't bother putting the country code in front of service numbers, we just leave them the same as, so 411 goes out as 411. That's really more of a personal choice rather than anything, because service numbers by definition they're only useful within the country, so they're not typically really subject to E-164 naming conventions, I suppose. And international, so this is a new one. I actually put this one in a little bit recently there. So that question mark colon there means, with the brackets there, means that that's actually going to be ignored for the translation, which is actually kind of cool. So we can always use $1 instead of having to use $2 or $3 or something like that. And then in the UK, so we also hear some dial plan examples for the UK. I won't bother going into these, but the UK is obviously a little more complicated. This was actually given to me by some guy in the UK who's really, really, really likes figuring out regex for the UK. He's awesome. I thank him so much. I'm able to provide local dialing rules for the UK thanks to him. And it gets extremely crazy, but it works. Nobody complains, so it's all good, right? Now, there's the argument, I was thinking about this actually the other night, thinking, well, do I really need to have all these specific examples? Do you really need to go to this kind of detail for your dial plan? Could you not just say, okay, I'm dialing any number that doesn't start with 00. Could I just say, oh, fine, I'll just normalize it to 44 and then whatever that number is? You can, but I'm kind of the mind that I want to give users feedback if they're dialing a proper number all the time. Because there's one thought of saying, okay, well, just let them dial whatever they want, and if it's not dialable, they'll get the message back from their provider saying, sorry, this is an invalid call. But I'm up with the thought to saying that why not provide the user with even that little bit of feedback to say, yes, this is going to go out properly or not. Because if I dial a local number that in the UK or in London that starts with a 4 and is 7 digits, it's not going to normalize quite properly. It's not going to normalize. It's not going to put the plus. You're not going to get that feedback saying that, yes, this is normalizable and dialable, and it's going to get out there. So I kind of think that every number you should try to normalize to something that is valid. And if it's not, try to ignore it. So don't try to capture every single case. Just try to capture the valid cases so you're able to give feedback to the user to say that, yes, this is a valid number. No, it's not. And if it's not a valid phone number, it's not going to get normalized, and it's not going to dial too well. How big would the dial plan be for the global deployment? Well, you're going to have... You could have a dial plan. You could have 60 different dial plans or more, right? It all depends on the dialing rules for all those different countries. You're going to have 60 different dial plans. Like, it all depends on your... Like, if you have 60 different link deployments, I would imagine, or they all just have... You have people in 60 different sites with link deployments attached to them, or are they just... Or there's maybe one... Some do, some don't. Yeah, you're going to want to provide dial plans for everybody. So even people who don't have link deployments wherever they happen to be, like if you have like a central link deployment in North America, but you have people who are dialing in to your link deployment from the UK, I would provide them a dial plan for the UK, even though they're dialing into a US PSTN connection.
Because
in PBX, from your PBX? No. No, there's nothing. Yeah, the question is can you take something from the... Is there anything that will take it from your existing PBX and put it in a link? No.
A wizard.
Well, there is a wizard of some sorts. Man, I feel like this is a plant.
Next finish.
What could it be? Yeah, this guy's a plant. I can't imagine what kind of tool that could do that sort of thing. All right, so voice policies... So the best practice is the voice policy is what's used to determine the calling capabilities that users have. So you only create as many voice policies as you need. And typically, most people are going to leave these checkboxes at the default. I never really see too many options or reasons to change any of those from the default. But the most important thing here is actually the PSTN usages that you put into your dial plan. This is where your call routing is going to be determined. This is where least cost routing is going to happen. This is where failover routing is going to happen. It's all going to happen right here. So this is the most important place to spend time thinking about how things are ordered and how you're going to do things. So again, so for voice policy best practices, I like to use site-level policies by default, assign them by default. So again, this is whenever you're assigned to a pool or you're created and you're assigned to a link pool, you'll get the voice policy that is assigned to that site by default. Use that one for the majority of your people where possible. And then, so if you say, okay, well, the majority of the people only need to do national dialing, so you assign the voice or the PSTN usages that allow for national dialing only, and then you create a voice level policy for the people who need any less calling rates or more. So for CEOs, for example, who would need to be able to dial internationally or something like that. And then use your user level policies for exceptions. So again, those are defined manually via the control panel or PowerShell. And so for your smaller user classes who need either more or less than the masses. So then we talk about voice routes. So voice routes, these obvious, pretty obvious what a voice route is. It defines the actual path taken by a call, right? So any calls that match the route regex, the regular expression that's within that route, will use the PSTN gateways that are assigned to that. And so you assign routes to PSTN usages, and then those PSTN usages get assigned to your voice policy. So everybody gets that relationship. Everybody understands that relationship. It took me a while to really get that. So the power of that is that you need to add more routes. You don't have to go to every single, more routes to call class. You don't need to go to every single place, a million different places to do it. You just have to do it once. Do it, just assign the new route to the PSTN usage, and then every voice policy that has that PSTN usage will get that route by automatically. So again, make your voice routes as specific as required. So again, try to make sure there's no overlap because you don't want to accidentally give people who are only supposed to be able to dial local numbers, like say you've got like common area phones, that you don't want to be able people to come into your office, sit there and make long distance calls. You want to make sure there's no overlap that allows them to accidentally make long distance calls. So again, create as many routes as you require call classes. So you can create local, national, mobile, toll-free, premium. Like the list is pretty, well, not really endless. There is a set amount, but this is typically what you're going to see most often or in most places in the world are these types of things. So you assign those routes to PSTN gateways local to your deployment. And then if you adhere to 164, everything becomes much easier. So again, I'm going to keep harping on E164 because if you just think, okay, everything that's coming in is E164, it makes your routing a lot easier. And so don't assign gateways from multiple sites to a route for failover routing. This comes up as questions in the exams. I think we actually probably created one or two of those. And people try to this all the time is where I say, okay, I want to do failover routing. Okay, I'm going to put the gateway from my Dallas deployment, and also from my London deployment, and that'll give me failover routing. And you see that the London one's below it, but no, Link will actually round robin between those. So you'll see your local calls that you think were going out your Texas gateway are suddenly routing through the UK gateway, and you're getting a lot higher toll charges. So the answer for this one, I wish this thing had louder volume, but survey says, I love that. This is DR at the link level. We're talking just pure link level here. Yeah. So if you want to do failover routing, this is not the place to do it. This is the place to do if you've got multiple trunks to multiple PSTN providers that you don't care which one the call is going through. You want to basically do load balancing between them because the link will round robin between trunks in a route. One more time. Survey says. And so PSTN usages, again, what we talked about is the link between the voice policies and the routes. So you assign your routes to your usages, and you assign your usages to your policies. And so I like to create PSTN usages because, again, this is kind of the heart of the whole thing inside of Link is you create PSTN usages for each of your call locations and the call classes you want to use. What's that? And so you assign your routes that match the given location call class. That should be fairly obvious. So if I have a local usage, I want to make sure the routes assigned to that are local routes. Make sense? So PSTN usage ordering is extremely important. This is where things happen. This is where you're going to be doing your failover routing. This is where you're going to be doing least cost routing. It's all your magic happens right here. So what Linkhead does is when you're making a phone call, so you're assigned to a voice policy, whether that be a site or a user level policy, Link will start at the top. And it's going to evaluate every single PSTN usage and the routes with them then. And if it finds a match for that and phone number, it's going to route it out that trunk. Starts from the top, works its way down. As soon as it finds a match, out it goes. It's not going to go on any further unless that route happens to be down. And if that route does happen to be down, then it will continue on down the chain. And that's how you can get failover routing. So you can use secondary, tertiary. There's no limit to how many failover points you could have for your calls. So you can do this with both simple and complex type deployments. So your failover routing, you do that again with PSTN usage ordering. So you put the main usage above a similar usage assigned to another site. So if you have local usage or you have national usage for Texas, and then you want to use failover routing for your other link deployment that happens to be in Vancouver, you put your Texas one first, and then your Vancouver one second. So most of your calls will always go out the Texas gateway all the time unless Texas is down because they're seceding from the Union or something. Who knows? But then if Texas is down, then the next thing it's going to go down and try to use Vancouver for call routing. So that's... You don't want to see SIP? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Not following you.
As far as you're talking about PSTN deployments and...
Yeah, this all applies. Like this, when I say PSTN use, it's just a term used inside of Blink, right?
It's general.
This is general. Again, like this could be talking, if your Link deployment is talking to a PBX or a SIP trunk, all this still applies, right? This is just all, we're focusing on the Link side of things. We're not going outside of that to talk about exactly how we're interconnecting to the PBX or to the PSTN. It could be through a PBX. We're leaving that out of here, out of the scope of this. This is purely around the Link side of things. So you want to try to group your PSTN usages from the same country to avoid international toll charges. So you try to stay away from putting, again, London as your failover route. If you've got three or four different sites in North America and you have London as your fourth site, put that lower down because, again, you want to avoid using London because, first of all, you got latency to deal with, and second of all, you're going to have long-distance charges to deal with or international charges. And, again, ordering is critical. I can't stress this enough. So it's very easy to accidentally grant people calling capabilities they shouldn't have, and it's also very easy to incur additional toll charges if you don't know exactly what you're doing. Using the example I used earlier of accidentally putting a London usage, international usage up too high up in the chain means that, okay, you can get down there, even you could potentially make even local calls end up routing out via London, which you probably don't want to do. So least cost routing is most often used with failover routing. And so again, if you only have one site, you're not going to be doing a lot of least cost routing, right? So this is geared towards companies who have multiple locations with multiple Link deployments, multiple PSTN egress points, and those could be to SIP trunks, to PBXs, could be to anything, right? So you can't do least cost routing with a simple type deployment. So this is why you need to think about what you're trying to do all the way through. If you want to do least cost routing, you can't use a star.star type approach to each of your sites, because what that means is that if you use all calls type thing, so every call is going to route out that first PSTN usage, and you're never going to get the opportunity to say that local calls to New York will use the New York gateway, local calls to London will use the London gateway. You need to break things down into local, national, international. So PSTN usage is even more critical than in failover routing because, again, it's very simple, very easy to accidentally give people international dialing when they're not supposed to. And then you also need to watch out for inefficient routing scenarios where you accidentally route your local calls out London when you didn't really need to. So some tips and tricks. So here's how I like to typically do things. So here's an example here on the right with a three-site deployment with Toronto, Vancouver, and London. So the first thing you try to do is you group your PSTN usages from the same country together. Put them all together, put your local ones up top, because if you put national above local, that means, again, any North American call is going to go out that one gateway. So if you want to say that all your Vancouver calls go at the Vancouver gateway first, put that one first, and then put all your local ones right up the very top. And then go to your national level, so that your long-distance calls, so the first two give you your least cost routing, and then your second two kind of give you more of failover routing because you've passed the local, the least cost routing. So at that point, it probably doesn't make much sense which one it goes out, but you're typically going to want to use your local one to avoid WAN usage and latency. And so put all your national, local and national first, and then put your out-of-the-country ones below those ones because typically you're not going to be dialing those as often as you would be for something that's within your own country. So, like in most companies, you're going to be dialing, most of your phone calls are going to be dialed to wherever you happen to be located. You're not going to be dialing international all that much. So it makes sense to group those PSTN usages that are most often used towards the top because, again, Link has to take time to evaluate every route within a PSTN usage before it goes down. So use the ones that you use the most, put them at the top so Link doesn't have to take as much time to parse through them. Now, it might be on the order of milliseconds, but honestly, like I'm of the thought of trying to make things happen as fast as possible because the longer that people get that boop, boop, boop sound in Link, then you know the less happy they're going to be. So try to make things as efficient as possible. And so the way it works here, so I'm calling a Vancouver number. Obviously, it's going to go at that first usage. If I'm going to call a UK number, well, it's going to go through local, national for those sites. Not going to find a match there. It hits the London one, routes out London as a local call, no toll charges. And then, and even if they're, if you want to go anywhere in the UK, you send it out to the national one next. And then international, you put at the very, very bottom. And then you get failover routing for all those. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah, so that was in a route. So if you try to put different gateways within, so the question was, what's the difference between this and doing it with the failover routing within the route? So because that's not failover routing. That's just round robining between within a route. So that doesn't give you failover routing. So if you want to do any sort of failover or routing, you do it all here. It's all in the voice policy and all with PSTN usages. Okay, trunk translation rules. So this, again, this is also, I see this a lot of times in link deployments where people put in, okay, I want calls to go out with a zero in front of them. So they put normalization rules in their routes and everything with zeros in front of them. Don't do that. And they put nines in their normalization rule because that's what their PBX is expecting for the next hop. Don't do that. Just leave everything E164. And then at the trunk translation rule, this is your opportunity to add or subtract numbers as required. Because again, most PSTN providers, unless they're SIP providers, if they're a SIP provider, you probably don't need a lot of trunk translation rules because they're going to be they'll be able to accept E164. But most local providers in North America, they're going to be expecting just 10 digits for a local call, or even 7 digits, 11 digits for long distance, and 011 for international. If you're sending it to PBX, you might need to add a 1 to or add a 9 to it or an 8 or something, right? So you use the trunk translation rules to do this. And this is all behind the scenes. Users never see this. So when the 011 gets added, it's done purely in the background before it gets sent out. The user always only sees that E164 phone number in their link client. So it's all completely behind the scenes. So again, if you use E164 all throughout, then it's never going to be a problem. And it makes translation much easier if you know that, okay, a national call for North America is always going to start with a 1, and I know that every phone call that's coming through is not going to have a 1 because my normalization rules are formatted that way. So you've got to make sure that your normalization rules capture everything first to put it to E164 so it makes your trunk translation rules that much simpler to deal with. So here's some examples. So see that beautiful one up top for Toronto? That is the local dialing for Toronto, Ontario. And yes, I typed that out completely manually, didn't use any tool whatsoever to do that. But that's the craziness that we have to deal with in North America, and that's the basis for why I created that tool we're going to talk about later that will not be named yet. Some examples there for different all the different sites, all your trunk translation rules. So for North America, we're adding, making sure we have a 1 for long distance calls and putting a 011 in front of it for international calls, and similarly for UK, we're putting 0 for national calls and 00 for international calls. Oh, here come the guys, and I hope they have some happy news. This is awesome. The demo gods are shining now? I hope so. Good. Fantastico. Okay, so extensions. Extensions seem to be the ugly stepchild in Link. Microsoft, for whatever reason, seems to have kind of, well, they're getting better, but they seem to have forgotten that, hey, not everybody has DIDs. Like all your examples that you're going to see, all the examples that you see on Microsoft's site typically were in the past have dealt with just DID numbers. But not everybody in the world has the money to be able to use DIDs. A lot of companies have the need for extensions. So there's been a lot of cases in the past where Link didn't display extensions properly or didn't even handle extensions properly. They've gotten a lot better, like even in just the most recent patch, I think, in the server patch, I think it fixed a problem with extensions. You want to test it out real quick? Yeah. Oh. And are the VMs running?
We did not turn it in. We just reset and pulled up the website. Okay. And make sure to display.
Just give me a sec, guys. I want to make sure everything's running. Running, beautiful. Fantastical. Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And we're back. Okay. So why are we going to use extensions in Link? Well, obvious reasons. Not everybody in the world can afford DIDs, right? So there is a need for extensions in this world. So again, Or you might be just using extensions on a PBX that you're like, you might have a link deployment that's purely within itself, but you might be using extensions on a PBX. So again, always use, have I said this before? E164? Always use E164, man. Like, even if it's with extensions. I mean, see this too many times where people have their just their four-digit extension and they set up all their normalization rules for four-digit extensions to dial, and it works great. But there are problems with that, especially if you end up with the inevitable conclusion of, wow, Link is awesome, I'm going to migrate to this. So there's a reason beside the E164 mantra for using that in all your phone numbers. So an important thing is just to make sure that every phone number is unique in Link. It's too easy to get caught up. Like, when you sign, everybody's got an extension off of a main phone number. But if you use that main phone number somewhere without an extension, all of a sudden phone calls to everybody will break. And what will happen is, if you start digging through log traces, you'll get a nice little SIP message that says in beautiful red, 485 ambiguous. And what that essentially means is that I don't know where this routes to, because there are too many, there's too many people with, like, I can't break this down into one number that I can send this to. So you got to make sure that every single phone number, if you're assigning it to an auto attendant, a response group, anything within Link, is to use E164 and use the extension on there. Don't use that same base number anywhere else.
So you're recommending that you don't use the main number as the base?
Oh, I do. Use the main number as the base, but even, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, so what you can do is, when someone calls that main number, that's what's going to show up in Link, right? Like that main number. You need to actually normalize that to an extension that routes to an auto attendant or something like that. Don't just let it come in by itself, because then all your phone numbers will break.
So if I've got 22 sites, each site has a main number with an IDID number. That means you're going to have that normalization rule in every one of your dial times for every site.
Yes. It's 20 normalization rules. And PowerShell, is your friend, right? So makes your life a lot simpler. Like, it's just one rule, and then you just got to say whenever the inbound number comes in, append. And you know what? You can actually do it if you can actually put in one normalization or one rule. No. You can do one rule. You can do one rule for all sites. Like, if everything's got to route to an auto attendant, say, is that what happens? Is it routing to an auto attendant or a response group? Yeah. So all those response groups put on extension 0000 or something like that. Use the same extension number for every one of those sites, and then all you got to do is have one normalization rule that says 11 digits or whatever it happens to be, and then for that first normalization rule, and then normalize it to that same 11 digits with extension 0000. So you just need one.
If your call comes in with E164, so you can't normalize.
Yes. Here we go. We talk about that too. So hang on. I think it's like you're a plant here for me. It's awesome. So here's what you do. So this seems like a big roundabout way of doing things. Why would I do this? And I'll tell you why. So first thing that happens is you create a normalization rule that says takes 2345 and it normalizes it to an E164 phone number with the XT equals in front of it. So that's great. So we assign a route to route phone numbers with that. And you don't have to actually get down to the gritty details to say put the extension in the route. You can just leave the base number and don't put a dollar sign at the end of it in the normalization rule, and then it will accept everything. So you assign a route that will route it to the appropriate PBX, and then you do a trunk translation rule to strip it down to 2345. So it sounds like an awful lot of work, doesn't it? So you can do a normalization rule like that, or like this one. This is like regex, like nerd speak. Like plus, slash, small d, plus, big d. So what this means is, say, take any number followed by anything else that's not a number. Actually, I shouldn't have that plus there, should I? No. And then, I got too many pluses in here. That's a mess. Forget those pluses are there. I got to fix that. But that all works out to saying, okay, take any phone number and strip it down to the extension. That's what it's supposed to mean. So again, why are we doing this? So again, if you are not thinking long term, you're just thinking the here and now when you're putting in your Link deployment and you're trying to route to your PBX, is fine. You know what? Why do I need to do this? I'm just routing to these extensions. Why do I have to put a normalization rule and a route and then a translation rule just to take it from four digits, put it to E164, and then strip it back down to four digits? It doesn't make any sense. What does make sense is if you think, okay, well, eventually, maybe you might want to move to Link. You might want to take those PBX users and move them to Link. because Link is awesome, as we all know, because we're all here, right? And so what's going to happen is when you start migrating those people over to Link, they may want to keep their own extensions. That's entirely possible. They want to keep their extensions so that other people can dial them. So what happens when you move the first person over to from that extension pool in the Link? So suddenly you're going to give them an E164 phone number because of all those reasons we talked about before. So people who are federated are going to be able to reach them properly. Those are some of the most important reasons, because you don't want to put just a 2345 for their extension, for their telURI in Link, because that's going to break all kinds of things inside of normalization. But the most important reason is, as soon as you migrate that person over, all of a sudden you're thinking, wait a second, 2345, now I got to create an exception for 2345, just that one number, to normalize to an E164 phone number, and leave the rest of them to still normalize to just, or to leave them at 2XXX and pass them off to the PBX. And this compounds itself as you migrate more and more people. You have to do more and more normalization rules to fix this mess. And so your life becomes increasingly more difficult as you migrate more and more people until you get to the end finally, and then you can say, okay, I can finally rip out all these normalization rules and go back to just one normalization rule. Or you could just say, you know what, if I had just done this the way that Ken said in the first place, I wouldn't be here. You just do it all to normalization to E164 right off the bat, and then when you start migrating people, you don't have to worry about messing around with rules as you go. It makes your life a heck of a lot simpler. Does that make sense, everybody? Question? Yes.
Calls come into that into the Link environment, and it comes in the main number, and you know, when the call pops up, it associates that with the person's name and Active Directory.
Yes.
And there's like hundreds of them with the same number, it seems to pick them randomly.
That's why you got it. It's E164. You got to do it all. Like you've got it broken down somewhere. There's a breakdown somewhere there, because if everything's normalizing properly, it should work out fine. You shouldn't have any duplicates. So there's probably a breakdown in either the company phone number normalization rules, or something. Because again, if you're thinking E164 from the start to the finish, you should have a smooth deployment. So I can't comment exactly on what's going on in your situation, obviously, but I'm sure it's probably a breakdown somewhere there. Yeah, this is for EV. Yep. Yeah, let's take that later. I'm not quite getting what you're saying, but I'm getting short on time here. So we can talk afterwards if you want, because I'm supposed to go to some place afterwards, and we can talk all you want about this sort of stuff. All right? So again, so incoming calls to extensions, use a normalization number to map that main number to extension using E164. And then, so this is going back to your first situation there. So when you have just one DID coming in, you got to normalize that to E164 number plus an extension. If you just normalize that to just 11 digits, then you're going to get that E164 or that 485 ambiguous message. So you got to make sure you put an extension to that, and make sure that that extension is assigned to either your auto attendant or your response group or wherever you're sending it to. Okay? And then so again, make sure you're following the E164 rules when you're creating your auto attendant. So don't just give it the main number. You can always use the display number as the main number only, but make sure that the tell URI is the tell with the phone with the main number extension equals 0000 or something like that. So again, make sure that if you can, now here's the situation, make sure your incoming number does not have a plus in front of it. So if you got a PSTN gateway or a PBX, if sending a plus, things are going to go badly for you, because if Link sees an incoming number with a plus on it, Link automatically assumes that it's E164 formatted and does not apply normalization rules to it, which is a problem for incoming calls. If you've got a SIP provider that sends everything in with E164 like we want to, but you only have PBX extensions, because your normalization rule will not fire to send that, take that number and put an extension onto it. And then you get 485 ambiguous, calls don't work for anybody, and nobody's happy. So the way around this, unfortunately, is to have to use MSPL scripting. And thanks to Michael Greenlee, who's doing some, I don't know when his session is, he's doing some sessions on on programming in Link. He's an amazing guy who knows all kinds of really deep stuff about programming in Link, which I have no idea how to do. But I kind of took something that he did, that somebody else did, modified, and I modified that a little bit further to be able to do a workaround to say, okay, if you have an incoming phone number coming in E164, to send it off to a response group or to an auto attendant. So it works. I did this for Link 2010, but there's a it works for 2013 as well. I've had to do it in a few places. Works like a charm. Okay, so here's some potential issues. So what happens? This comes up a lot. What happens when you have people with DIDs and extensions that don't actually map to anything? So you got your CIO has got a phone number of 212-555-1234, but their extension is 9876. And then you got another guy who's got a completely different number and a completely different extension. This is not unheard of because it's not uncommon because you often don't get DIDs in blocks and they don't often map to your extension scheme that you're using. What do you do? Unfortunately, not a heck of a lot. I think you can actually, if you go to Stale's session, you might learn a bit about phone number management. When's his session? His session's, I think it was tomorrow morning. Stale's going to have a session on Link phone number management where he may actually have a bit of a solution for you. So sadly, really, there is no solution within Link how to deal with that situation. Excel is going to be your friend. So you can use Excel and create some scripts to create normalization rules to normalize 9876 to each random individual DID. And thankfully, this has gotten a lot, the list of the things that don't work with E164 phone numbers with an extension on it has gotten a lot smaller. And I actually had to do it, like there were a few big situations, especially in response groups, where you couldn't use E164 formatted phone numbers with extension. There still is one little place where they haven't fixed it, but they've done a good job in cleaning stuff up in the past, cleaning things up. All right, special cases, inter-trunk routing. So what does this do? This allows Link to be kind of like the core of your telephone routing network. So you can take an incoming call and not pass it on, and not have its final destination just be Link. You can actually pass that off to another PBX without doing anything else. And it's actually a fantastic feature, but it does get misused a lot because if you go into your trunk configuration, pretty high up there, you're going to see something called associated PSTN usages. And I see a lot of people putting usages in here thinking this is a place to put usages for some reason because it's not exactly clear what this is for. But what this means is that any calls, anything that you put in here is going to route out that PSTN usage, route out the route that's associated with that PSTN usage back out to the PSTN. So calls may not work. So the point of this is that you're supposed to create a dedicated PSTN usage and route that's specific to where you want to route those specific calls to. Make sure they don't overlap with any phone numbers you have in Link. Because if you have an all-encompassing PSTN usage that you're trying to forward off to another PBX, it's not going to even look for people in Link to try to send calls to. It's just going to take it and pass it on off. So if you've got anybody that falls within a normalization or falls within that scope of that route on that PSTN usage, the calls are not going to get there. So you've got to be very, very specific about how you do things. Because like if you have users or auto attendants or response groups, none of those will fire. They'll just pass it off to the PBX and not work. Question? Yes, that's actually what happens. So the question is can you do it kind of like a bit of the reverse where check to see if there's anybody in Link and then pass it off? Like, when it's incoming? I don't think so. No. Yeah. Yeah, reverse number will happen. Look first, but then. That's Doug. Doug's the man. Listen to him. So we'll do reverse number lookup, but there are situations where it doesn't work, though, isn't it? Aren't there? Yep. Oh, right. Yeah. Not as careful as I say. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks for. No, that's great. No, thanks. Thanks for clarifying. So location-based routing. Now, Doug, thanks for piping up because you are doing a session on this tomorrow, aren't you? Tomorrow right after lunch. So this is, if we want a deep dive on this, I am not going into this too much, but this is actually a really fantastic feature. Doug helped me out on this in a deployment, and we're using this now everywhere, is where you're able to route calls based on the physical location of the user rather than the policy that they're assigned to. Prior to, I think it was CU2, last March, the only way you're able to route calls is based on the policy that you were assigned. So if you're typically in Vancouver, but you travel to your South American location, your calls are still going to route out Vancouver, which is great probably, but it could be going over the WAN, which you may not have great WAN links. So location-based routing allows you to route calls based on the physical location, where they happen to be right then, as opposed to the voice policy that they're assigned. So you're able to use this to say, okay, like we have a client who really wants to minimize the amount of WAN traffic utilized by Link. They're a Cisco company. They want to use Link, but they're really, really nervous about adding additional traffic, yet they don't seem to understand that we're not putting more calls on there, they're just taking a slightly different route. But we use location-based routing to say that every call made by a Link person is going to go out the local Cisco gateway, wherever they happen to be. And so it's working out fantastically for us. So there's a summary of steps here you need to do. I'm not going to get into these too much, but it's quite fantastic. I think it was originally meant really for cases like when you go to India. India has some very stringent telephony rules about sending calls out of the country over the WAN to another site, like using least cost routing. They want to be able to get the money for their telecoms or whatever. So Microsoft had to create location-based routing to say, okay, well, when you're in India, your calls are always going to route out the India gateway rather than going over the WAN like it normally would have back to your home site and out to use least cost routing. So location-based routing considerations is that it applies, so it applies to all location-based routing-based users at that site. So if you assign people to a voice policy that has location-based routing enabled, they're going to get that one policy. There's only one policy that you assign to a site. So you have to be careful that you don't give people who are supposed to have less calling capabilities, like they're only supposed to be able to make local calls, but if you have a voice routing policy or location-based routing policy with national or international dialing, those people are going to be able to make more calls than they're supposed to. Or conversely, people are supposed to be able to make international calls may not be able to if your location-based routing policy says you're only able to make national calls. So you got to be very careful there. So what I would do typically is you don't enable location-based routing for those people, for the people, those edge cases who are only supposed to be able to make local calls, who are able to make international calls. Because otherwise, again, so people, your CEO will be complaining, going, hey, I went to the Toronto site, I'm not able to make international calls anymore. Why? Right? You don't want to get into that situation. And again, check out Doug's deep dive on that session. That's tomorrow at 1, so this time tomorrow. If you really want to get a deep dive on that, I know I certainly do, so I'm going to be heading there tomorrow myself. So we got not a lot of time left, so I might actually skip this one because I want to have some time for questions. I wanted to talk briefly about being able to block caller ID on demand. So there's a way you can actually do this within Link kind of sneakily by being able to allow people to put in *67 or something like that and then have it route out or create a special route for it that will use a dummy number or something like that instead of your actual number. So it's kind of useful. But if you don't have time for all of this, now I got to prepend this with my company told me. I work for a company called Buchanan Technologies, but wanted to make sure that this tool and everything that I about this is created by me and me alone. There's no affiliation with Buchanan. This is their legal department talking here, but this is something that's all mine. I do it on my own spare time. I spend way too much time on this thing. I don't know why, but hey, it's called Cue the Angels and Trumpets and all that wonderful stuff. It's called the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer. Yay! So what does it do? What is it? So your dialing rules this is old. What the heck? 35 countries. That's not right. 67 countries now. And you get customized dialing rules for all of North America, least cost, failover routing, location-based routing, all the things we talked about today here. So you could go through all the work to try to learn all this sort of stuff, or you could just use the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer. So this is my sales pitch here, but it's free, so I don't know what I'm selling. I'm not a great seller here. So, you can donate. There's a little button. Apparently, it's quite hidden though, most of the time. Well, there it is. Wait. I'm gonna press 6 here. So here's a demo of the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer. How many people have seen this before? Most of the people here. Okay. How many people have donated here? All right. So So again, so the link dialing rule optimizer, so it's trying to put all those things I talked about, all those best practices I talked about into like one handy dandy little tool. So for instance, let's go. So all you need to do, it was originally made because of the situation in North America where you don't know most of the time if the number you're dialing is local or long distance. So like in where I live, 519 area code, 519 number could be local if I or I have to dial one in front of it. And I don't know by looking at the number whether that's supposed to be a local number or not. So most of the time you kind of guess, go, is Waterloo long distance? Let's just try local, let's see what happens. Boop, 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 sorry, this is a long distance call. So that's not great for Link because Link is expecting everything in E164. So we need to be able to have a way to be able to strip the one where you need, where you have to, and leave the one where you don't need it. So let's just go through a couple cases here. What's going on here? Do I have internet still? Oh no. Don't tell me I don't have. This would suck. Oh, there we go. That worked. Okay. So you're able to do all the different kinds of things that you want. Like if you want to do the simple rule set, if you decided that, yes, I want to do things simply, I don't care about least cost routing or things like that, you can use a simple rule set. You can change the rule name base because there was someone asked a long time ago whether they could put in like the actual the phone number inside the rule there. But I find I don't like that so much. I want to get a call of hands. Like, do people like to have, like, do people have used this tool before? Would you like me to keep that in there by default, or you want me to change it so that's a shorter rule with just like NABC Vancouver shorter? What's the guess? Everyone wants to make it shorter by default? Yeah, that's what I think. And then people can always go in and add those numbers if they want to later. So yeah, I'm going to make that change. So I'm going to change this NA-BC. Actually, wait. BC. So it updates live, and I notice a lot of people actually don't notice this because they don't want to put in their custom rule is going to be NA, and then and because this ends up staying there. Like I force feed that to you, and so you don't need to put in NA because then you end up with rules that start off with NA. And I actually think I actually programmed in here saying your custom rule is not going to show up as you think because I see enough people making that mistake and coming back and having to redo it again. And I hate to see that because it means that it didn't work so well for them. So I'm going to, because we're running really out of time here. We just do everything we need. If we need an external access prefix, we add it there. We can program it in extensions. And I'm trying to do some new stuff here that I'm not showing right now, but we're not going to do that because we don't have enough time. And you just really, whoops. And of course, you got to sign in because I keep forgetting to do that even myself. While we're waiting for that, because it's not happening, everything is slow here. Yeah. I'm not going to wait for it. All right, so I kind of anticipated this, thankfully, which is unusual for me. And change the resolution on me. And so I've actually already preloaded these in. So I've got a link deployment here that's completely empty. Oh, come on. Demo gods are not smiling. We're running out of time here. We got 3 minutes left. I don't think we're going to do it, Jim. Anyways, so we're going to run Vancouver real quick. So right now we got a completely empty voice policy. There's nothing in here. We just got the stuff that's already there, that's there by default when you come in there. And all you got to do is like, okay, where do you want to apply your routing rules for Vancouver? You punch in one for Vancouver. And which gateway are we assigning it to? Okay. Creates all the site dialing plans, creates your voice usages and everything. Now, we got three sites in here. So it's saying, okay, do you want to apply location-based routing? I've got it coded in there so that it will actually see if you've got network sites assigned, it'll say, do you want to do this? Do you want to do location-based routing? We're going to say, sure. We're going to say Vancouver. And we're going to say, what kind of call rights do you want to give people who are use this location-based routing? We're going to say, no limitations. And away we go. It's done, just like that. So now we look back. And we wait. And then we can do the same thing again for Toronto, because we got a different Toronto site again. And we're going to say Toronto Gateway. We can say least cost failover routing, because once we've run it once, then it detects and says, okay, we've already created routing rules once, so you want to do least cost routing, failover routing? And then, no, we're not going to write that. And we can do least cost routing again, or sorry, location-based routing again. Oops, I did the wrong site. Who cares right now? And then we'll do the same thing for London. And then 2, and then least cost failover routing. Yes, I say no. And then let's do one more time for Vancouver. Because what happens is the first time you run the Vancouver one, like it doesn't do least cost routing for it because there were no routes actually that existed at that time. So we're just going to do this real quick. Yes. Yes, sure. Nope. And we're done. So now we look at our voice routing, and you'll see that automatically we've got a contozo.com dial plan and a Europe dial plan. That ties into it shows all the normalization rules that we need there. And then our voice policies, all the different voice policies and routes and PSTN usages and everything for a link deployment. Like if we want to look at, so everything that we talked about, all the least costs routing is all right here. So all the usages. So this is the way to do a link deployment. It's a quick and easy way. Like I was able to do this within a few minutes. We're almost out of time, but thank you.